Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. My name is Sturgis, and this time I'm joined by
Christy.
And you'll be able to hear this nice talk that we just did afterwards because we already pre-recorded it. Oh boy.
You've destroyed the magic. You've lifted the curtain.
That's what happens. And cue the clip. Took you long enough.
Oh, look who's talking.
Not really. That doesn't count.
Oh, okay. The difference between 2018 and 2019 doesn't count.
Yeah, that's a one. Exactly one.
However you want to justify yourself.
I can justify it in many ways, trust me.
What's up?
Not much. How about you?
Not too much. Kind of same old. I just beat a level in Dungeon Keeper.
How was that?
Oh my god, it's so amazing. This is a game of my childhood. So when I grew up, I have a cousin who I'm really close with. Mm-hmm. And he is the one who really got me into gaming. And so when I was too young to play, because like old school RPGs are really hard. That's what we kind of started with. Like he'd play Fallout, you know, where you have to like remember to drink water and shit. And Baldur's Gate and all that kind of stuff. Things we had to like explore the map. And sometimes if you went to a particular section of the map, you would just die.
You're not supposed to go there if you just start out. You can't just walk to the end boss. It's not like most common games nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm pretty sure it was Fallout where it's like, if you walked like four times east or something like that, and you didn't like drink any water, you just kind of, you're fucked. It was something like that. I can't remember because I didn't play it myself. I just remember watching him play it. But Dungeon Keeper is an RTS. And it was made by Bullfrog and spearheaded by Peter Molyneux.
That name has not aged well.
So I thought, you know, this was the only experience I had playing one of his games. You know, his name was attached to Fable, infamously. And I guess everybody knows the story from there.
Are just dragging it down. You could have just been like, look, I've been playing Dungeon Keeper. It's a great game. But instead, you brought Peter Molyneux into the mix.
Yeah. But Dungeon Keeper is really amazing because it was made in like 1991 or something like that. There wasn't anything really like it. And I don't think there has been really since. I mean, there's like Black and White. But Dungeon Keeper is just so deliciously evil. Everything about it, from like you play the bad guy and you like kill heroes or you kill competing dungeon masters. All of your minions that you get are very distinct with their own like quirks. Like there's a mistress and she comes when you like get a torture chamber. That's a double entendre, by the way, because she loves the torture chamber. So it's just an amazing game, and there's a lot of strategy involved as the game gets harder. They just like throw a bunch of enemies at you.
I surprisingly have never touched any of those games.
Oh god, it's so good. So there is a second one, which I never got into as much, but it is, like, the gameplay is definitely a little bit tighter. And then there was supposed to be a third one.
Yeah, it looks like it got canceled.
Yeah, it got canceled. And then there's actually a spiritual successor, which is War for the Overworld, made by, it's a fan-made game. It came out in, like, 2015 or something. And it's on Steam, so I think I'm gonna get it because I looked at it and I was like, "Oh my god, this is exactly like Dungeon Keeper." It, like, oh god, it's just that kind of sadistic humor that I just love. It's amazing. So, like, for instance, your like home screen is like a map of all of these places that you basically go. You're gonna go take over and ruin. And they're named like Tickle and like Hug Town, you know, just like silly thing. Never Grim. And
of course, because you want to ruin a good thing.
Yes, exactly.
you can't just have it be all hunky dory. Welcome to Smilesville. Yeah. Population yes, smiles. It's fantastic and, here. And yeah. Then Christy comes along and fucks it all up.
Story of my life. So, yeah, and then one of the great details is that after you take it over, you change the name of it, and you get a little summary from the narrator. So in the beginning, it's like, oh, this place is ruled by Catherine, the beautiful and just queen. And then afterwards, it's like, yeah, this place is stomach bile, and even the rats are afraid to come out to eat all the carcasses that you just made.
I thought you were just going to just drop it and be like, no, welcome to Fucktown. Simply done.
That would be too obvious.
Oh, excuse me. We have to be subtle.
Yeah, there's really nothing subtle about the game. But,
we don't have our villainy, you know, just out in the open.
Welcome
to Missing Children'sburg.
Yeah. Population question mark.
There's missing children. What do you expect? I mean,
so, like, probably, I mean, it is a mature game, but the closest they get to, like, being, I don't know how, well, the whole thing is crude, but, like, the closest, they don't have any swear words, but there is, like, this one character called Horny. And he's, like, a horned reaper kind of character, but his name is just Horny.
I was about to say, let me guess, does he have horns?
He does, and he will slaughter everything in your own dungeon. So you have to, like, you have to, like, put a magical door on his, like, you have to give him his own apartment kind of thing.
Or else to keep him busy.
Yeah, or else he just
You're basically
slaughters
telling
everybody.
Me you have to keep your weird uncle busy.
my weird horny uncle.
Ugh, it's even worse.
The game is so good. I highly recommend it.
Makes no point whatsoever.
I finally played The Stick of Truth.
Okay, I mean, that's a little long ago that it came out.
I know, sure. Exactly. Okay, so I'm all about saving money.
So am I. That's why I admit I love my humble monthly subscription.
Yeah, you have like 2,000 games on Steam or something.
We need to stop saying the number. It's not cool anymore.
The first step is admitting it.
Or not. If we don't talk about it, then we can just ignore the fact that it's 1168 or something like that.
Oh my god. Yeah. I've really been enjoying, because I got into what I would consider a rut where I was just playing AAA games. And that doesn't sit well with me, because even though they're amazing and the budgets are high and I'm really into the voice acting and that's phenomenal, I was starting to get bored with like how perfect everything was. And I was like, you know, I need to expand myself again. It was just getting on my nerves. And so I went on Steam and I bought Papers, Please.
That, I'm sorry, for those that have never played Papers, Please, it is a fantastic game where, yes, you do have to play by the rules and make sure you're reading the rule book of what...
Oh, God, yeah.
The glorious country of Ostroska. But Just because I don't like your eyes doesn't mean you can come into my country.
Oh my god, that game is a super mind fuck. It was really great.
It's also available on iOS, so it can be played on iPads, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, I saw that. So my husband has a PC. I just have my laptop, so I kind of just like commandeer his PC whenever I want to play Steam.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Papers, Please. It manages. I was skeptical because I heard what the game was about and I heard it was amazing, you know, but you have to kind of take things with a grain of salt. And I was like, how amazing can it really be if you're just like an immigration officer? And it somehow
that
manages...
alone should entice you.
Okay, but I just went through the immigration process with my husband and I was sort of done with it.
I can imagine that would put a bad taste in anybody's mouth, so let's be honest.
Yeah. That game somehow manages to be funny, heart-wrenching. Just it runs the gamut of emotions in a way I wasn't really expecting.
Well, yeah, because you have to constantly manage and budget the fact that not only, and of course this is for the folks at home, not only do you have to worry about your job on a daily basis, you have to worry about the fact that you're also living with people at home.
Right. Yeah, it's like, grandma's sick. I'm like, well.
Grandma's not getting meds this week.
One less mouth to feed. Sorry, Graham.
I really want to save you, Grandma, but yeah. You know, you're 96. And I couldn't fill out those 5 extra immigration forms today, so in turn.
Right, yeah. Then one of the great things that I really liked about it was that there are so many endings and it keeps track of them. So it's like, oh, you lasted until day 20 or something, you know, and then you not only try to beat that, you like try to get a different ending and try a whole bunch of different things. And I ended up probably playing it 4 or 5 times, which is not common for me.
So because you brought up Papers, Please, mm-hmm. the guy who made it, Lucas Pope, actually released a second game more recently called The Return of the Oprah Din. I highly advise, because that's what I, in my brief stint of going dark when it comes to podcasting, I have actually just been playing games and catching up and spending time with my family, you know, becoming a dad of 2, yada, yada,
we're
yada.
Not here to talk about that.
Look, I'm just saying. But... Return of the Oprah Din. Basically, you are an insurance adjuster.
Oh, no.
It is a first-person game. And you walk around. So you are tasked with going to this port, and a ship has come in called the Oprah Din. We thought it was lost. It was gone. We need to find out what happened. And, of course, bill the folks that need to be billed, i.e., you are the insurance adjuster.
But when you get there...
You're given this, like, compass that can basically show you what happened so that you can basically mark it off as, like, oh, the captain did this, and this person did that, and you basically have the ledger of who was working on the ship, and you have to figure out who they are based off the situations.
Hmm.
You're not given their names up front, so you have to figure those out. You have to match names to faces and how they died.
Oh, God, but are they, like... 16-bit faces, because they could be anybody.
If you have a moment, go look it up real quick. It is grayscale, like old Mac OS. It looks amazing.
What is it called? Oprah Din?
Return of the Oprah Din.
O-B-R-A. Almost spelled that shit right. Okay. I just didn't do the extra N.
It
10 out of 10 on Steam. Okay, I'll probably have to check this out. I love a mystery, like, so much so.
No joke, you, to give you a hint at something, basically you see somebody do something and you're like, okay, well, obviously this is their spot in the ship, so it has to be this person, and you're like, how'd they die? That dude was shot. But then you find out, oh, wait, I screwed up. He didn't die in that scene. He actually got killed by a horrific monster that pops out of the ocean later on. Not to spoil that, but just that's the type of shit that can
that's
happen.
That's the kind of game we're dealing with. All right.
Yes.
I'm looking at the wiki and it's like designer Lucas Pope, programmer Lucas Pope, artist Lucas Pope, composer
it's only
Lucas
made by
Pope.
Him.
He's like a Jonathan Blow, except not as disappointing. Is that a controversial statement? Are we past the greatness of Jonathan Blow?
A little, because he's been a little. I'll let you look into that one yourself.
Yeah, I honestly haven't dug into it much since The Witness.
Good game.
So,
I'm not gonna lie.
So I loved Braid, like to the point where the ending made me very emotional. And then I was like reading Jonathan Blow's blog. Waiting for The Witness to come out, and obviously that took a really long time, that process. And then when
it's
finally came out
now.
Oh god so when it finally came out, I downloaded it. I was really excited. I love puzzles.
Oh, the game's fantastic. The only downside is that if you brute force any single puzzle, you fuck yourself over for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I haven't beaten it. I got stuck on a puzzle, and you know how he makes it almost impossible to like look up which puzzle you're like online. If you want to do a walkthrough, you have to be like puzzle where you have to line up the trees with the puzzle. And then you
well
just...
it also doesn't help that how long ago did you play it?
Oh, I haven't played The Witness in probably 2 years.
Oh, then you need to start over.
Yeah, right, like that's how I feel, and that's probably why I'll never pick it up again.
there is no muscle memory for that game. It legit just, if you don't remember how to do anything, then you are totally screwed.
Yeah, I don't see the reward in picking it back up, honestly.
I didn't mind trying it on iOS because mm-hmm. I can kind of pop it up, pull it up, you know, do some stuff real quick and then just put it back down. So
yeah.
It's kind of cool to be able to, you know, hey, it's on my phone. Cool. Okay, turn it off.
Yeah. I'm intrigued by the mistness of it, like I was when he first started talking about it. But what I'm annoyed by is all of the focus on like the lighting and, you know, the shadows. Like it's innovative, but almost to the point where it's too much, which is why I started playing like which is why I started playing like Papers, Please. I was just like, give me a great fucking story and I don't care if everyone has block faces.
Definitely play Oprah Din then. You will thank me later on that one.
Yeah, I might just do that. I'm also trying to go back and play Baldur's Gate.
Secret shame, I've never played them.
I mean, we were pretty young when those games came out. So,
oh, no,
like...
you have to understand that when the games came out, my friend, Larry, Jesus Christ, sweared up and down, like, that game was beautiful, amazing, and I'm just like, I don't have time, I'm playing Diablo, I just
so
never got around to Baldur's Gate.
I've never played Diablo, and then my husband came up while
get
I was playing.
Get off. Hit end. Get off my damn call.
All right. I fucked up.
You had one job. You
I
had
know.
All these years.
Play Diablo. Yeah, so I don't know. So like I said, I watched my cousin play a lot of games, so I watched him play Baldur's Gate, and you know my relationship with BioWare is...
Who?
Intense. To say the least.
Who are they? I don't know who that name is.
We don't have to get into that. So
I heard they make always online games.
I mean, I have a whole diatribe on this if you want to unpack, but
we can get there. I got time.
We're only 18 minutes in.
Exactly. Because I want to hear from someone who's like, you know, BioWare was there for me when I really needed it. I was in a dark time, and BioWare was there to pick me up. And I'm like, but where are they now?
Yeah, I mean...
Baldur's Gate.
So, circling back to what I was saying before, like, old-school RPGs are really hard. And
you keep saying this like I don't know that already.
Well, I'm just circling it back. I'm making it relevant. So,
oh no, I'm just, I try to pick up some games. I'm just like, wait, when the hell, how did I play this?
Yeah. Oh God, that just made me think of another game, but Baldur's Gate. So I'm not even very far, but you start out so fucking weak. Like, you get, the tutorial is basically like, kill some rats. There are like two assassins who try to kill you. And then you got to go out into the wilderness with like monsters and shit and other people trying to kill you. And it is hard. And you're so weak. You're so, and poor. And I feel like that's really just real life. It's just so hard. And there was some point where I was just like, I'm done. This is too much. Like, I got to take a break and play Dungeon Keeper and slap some people around.
So I guess I have to drag it back then, because you said, you know, you played Baldur's Gate, you had a hard time, you had to go back to Dungeon Keeper, you've been playing Papers, Please.
Yeah.
But how was Stick of Truth?
You mentioned okay. it. Yeah.
I loved it.
So
I actually picked up the Fractured But Whole last yes. year, and I haven't played as much as I want to.
Yeah. So Stick of Truth.
Great. Fantastic.
Oh,
best game ever.
Absolutely amazing. But I think it exceeded my expectations, and they were not low, because I've loved South Park, you know, years, freaking years. Trey Parker and Matt Stone, I think they're freaking geniuses. The Book of Mormon is hilarious. I love their style. It's so silly sometimes, and there's like a lot of toilet humor, which I'm not a huge fan of, but the rest of it is good.
It's South Park.
I know, exactly. But it's not just toilet humor, you know what I mean? So, I mean, there's a lot of that. There is a lot of that.
They were toilet mini games in both games.
Yeah, there are. What I love about the Stick of Truth is that it took this world I was already familiar with and have already loved for, you know, a decade or more. And it did something.
Actually put a map to the town.
Yeah, oh my God. I was like, that's where that is. But it did something that was gross but charming at the same time. Because, you know, when you get into South Park, it's like it's these little kids doing and saying these ridiculous things. But in the game, they're just role-playing. They're just playing a game. But they're just
you
calling each other, like,
the street.
Fuckers. Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. I loved every second of it, except for crawling around in
Big
Gay Al's butthole.
Not Big Al, Mr. Slave.
Mr. Slave. Oh God, I hated crawling around in there. It was the most disgusting.
But Lemmy Winks was there.
Everything was in there. Let's get real. Everything was present inside of
not
Mr. Slave.
Arguing. It's just, I mean,
I was shocked. Like, this game actually.
Were you though?
yes, I was, because I don't, oh God, I don't know. Maybe I just haven't seen South Park in a really long time, but
it's actually matured. That's the funny part.
I was shocked. And it was fun too. There were a lot of different things that you could do and dress up. And I thought it was really weird. So I started playing the Fractured But Whole, and you can make your
finish it so bad.
I just started.
I don't know what it is. I just kind of fell off, but I know I want to physically go back in and finish it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll probably be getting to that probably this month. I don't know. I'm running through Dungeon Keeper really fast. So I have like this hunger now. I really want to play all of these other games besides, you know, all the humongous titles that have come out.
That's okay. I know that feeling.
Yeah, and when I realized that that's what I had been doing, it kind of made me feel sad.
Why?
Because it's like, I used to be big into FPS, but I haven't been in the past, I don't know, like 5 years or something. I think I got tired of it, but all the big games, Call of Duty, you know, when Halo was still out, I was playing those.
I have not touched a Call of Duty game, like, personally buying it and wanting it since Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, I mean, I was mostly a Battlefield girl, so the last one I got was Battlefield 4.
Yeah, I didn't. I want to play 1 and 5, but I just never got around to it.
Yeah, but you're like Assassin's Creed, and of course, you know, like Dragon Age and Mass Effect and stuff. And I've played Inquisition like 5 or 6 times. I played it for like an entire year before I was like, okay, I have to stop just being in this world and getting the perfect playthrough, which is what I did for Mass Effect 2 right before Mass Effect 3 came out. So
funny
I could like,
enough,
get everything done.
I never really got into Dragon Age.
Oh, it's so good.
But the reason why is because I was forcing myself this whole time to go enjoy The Witcher, which I feel is better.
I mean, that's all a matter of perspective, right? Like,
I don't know which one got Game of the Year awards.
that doesn't really matter to me. I also have The Witcher. I tried to play the second one.
Look, let's not. You don't have to go back.
Oh, let's forget about the entire body of work and just focus on the one game they got right.
Because I'm going to be honest. I literally have tried to go back and play Witcher 1 because I'm like, I'm going to go through the Witcher games.
Oh, no.
And
no,
Witcher
no.
1 is dog shite. Great game. Dog shite. Witcher 2, they fixed a lot of things, but I always, at the time that I wanted to play it, didn't have a computer that worked correctly. Mm-hmm. And now that I do have a computer that worked correctly with the game, mm-hmm, I just play 3 instead.
Yeah. So I have Witcher for my PS4, and another thing is, like, I love Fallout. I've been, you know, watching my cousin play when I was little and then playing it myself eventually. I love the world. But every game now is so, everybody's focused on like open world. Look how many hours it'll take you to walk across the map. And I'm getting fatigued by that. Exploration is really cool, but when it's every game you're playing, it's really exhausting.
I get it, but at the same time, like, I really wanted to play Fallout 3 after playing so much Elder Scrolls, because it was like, oh my god, I got guns?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I got guns and nukes.
Yeah.
But flip side, when after playing a lot of Skyrim, and of course they're like, hey, Fallout 4 is finally coming. I don't know what it is. I played it and I just didn't care.
I like the sense of humor that the Fallout games have. And when I'm in between Fallout games, I tend to forget that they do have a personality to them. And it's not just endlessly wandering the wastelands, you know, like every vault has a story.
Like, oh, you no, can yeah, walk like in... the one with like all the Bobs. Everybody's named Bob. That's great. Bob and all his clones is fantastic.
There are so many great stories. And even when it's not something that's in your face like that, like, you could walk into a cave and see, like, the whole thing is burnt down or something, and there'll be, like, one terminal in there that alludes to what happened but doesn't, like, actually tell you. But then there will be, like, a doll on the floor. You know what I mean? So there are these pieces that you can put together to create the narrative of what happened in that vault or in that cave or whatever.
So that's how do you cool feel about Fallout 76?
So that's a game I will not be buying.
Why? I heard it was a fun Fallout game that you can make your own stories.
So my same cousin I've been talking about got 76 and advised me against getting it.
I knew something was up as soon as they were like, hey, it's online only. And everyone's like, no, it won't be. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's online only.
Yeah, I'm not about it. I really like the NPCs in the Fallout world. And I'm so
but
not
you can
about
be the NPC
playing online. Oh,
hello there, traveler. Welcome to my town. Excuse me, but your town is a shack. And that's a robot dog you made.
That's
yeah,
shack
cool
town.
Shackdown.
Yeah,
would you like
no
to buy some wares from Shacktown? We have shacks.
Yeah, no, that's not something I'm gonna be getting. I actually wasn't going to buy Anthem either. If we can open that can of worms. But my cousin bought it, and he really wanted somebody to play with, so he bought it for me too. Otherwise, I would not have ever played it. But I will say that when I started playing it, I actually really enjoyed myself. Like flying, they got that so right. It's a
they
lot
got
of fun.
A lot of the gameplay pieces correct. The issue is that, like, oh, I don't know, the last two BioWare games, they're
tread
logic
carefully,
and thinking.
Sturgis.
Oh no, I'm calling
just
it like
kidding.
Like a season. And the reason why is because I've listened to a ton of behind the scenes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's great NoClip documentaries and other stuff online that you can read.
Yeah, they're a mess.
That go into basically, it's like, look, we have a great idea. Can we work on it? Oh, EA says no. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Now take that idea, strip it completely, and make it into a live service.
Yeah. Yep. Which is
which,
really
by the
sad.
Way, Dragon Age 4.
Yeah, we'll see how much of a component that's going to be.
They said that is a main component.
We'll see what it turns into, though, because
I like your blind devotion. It's okay.
It's not blind. I'm just still optimistic about it. This is the this
ooh,
is
I
the
can't
time
wait to see that burn.
This is a time when there aren't that many solid RPGs coming out. At least that's...
Cyberpunk 2077 needs to have a word with you.
That, I don't know. I watched that long gameplay video and it made me tired. I don't know. It just... Okay, so here's my thing about it. So I watched that whole video and it looks great, obviously. But it's gonna look great, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's still a bunch of fucking, like, fetch quests and shit. It's like, oh, run over
that's
there.
All,
now
that's
run
all
over there.
RPGs.
But I'm not looking for, like, prettier water puddles and flashier neon lights and shit. Like, be innovative. Give me something I haven't already done.
Let me have my neon lights.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. Let's go back to bashing BioWare.
Exactly. So, Anthem.
So, Anthem. The things that I really like about it, number one, flying. I have so much fun doing that. And then I also really like that even though it's an online game, the people that you play with, like the randos, it's sort of almost like they're playing their own game too when you're on the same mission. They're just kind of there supporting you. You don't really have to coordinate with them. The combat is very intuitive where it's like, oh, if I freeze somebody, they know that that's a primer and then they can do like a melee and detonate them. I don't have to say anything. I don't have to talk to these people. This is not what I'm here for. Like, I just want to play the game and get my XP and that's it. That works really well for me.
But it could be better. And every time I've heard anyone speak of it, they keep patching out the fun.
I don't know. So, it's definitely not a perfect game. And I think, I mean, a lot of stuff could be better. Let's just be honest about that. Like, and not just an Anthem, but like a lot of games that come out. I think that EA being EA is really, I mean, it's the common thread in a lot of the problems that we're seeing with BioWare, but they are having like a lot of internal struggle, particularly with like management. That's why all their direction is so fucked up. But
I hope
for
they
what
can
it is,
become where they need
I
to be.
I enjoy playing it. Yeah, me too, because BioWare for me is really about all the great storytelling.
Not to use a term from Mass Effect, they are a husk.
Oh, God.
They are not what they once were.
Yeah. They're definitely fractured, but it doesn't, they've still put out some of the best games of all time for me. Like,
don't get me wrong, I replayed Mass Effect 1, 2, and actually, like, I didn't finish 3 because I actually was waiting for the update to get the new ending. But I replayed 1 and 2 quite a bit to get, as you even said, a perfect ending to move into 3.
I have hours in Mass Effect 2.
I don't have that much time.
And I have a spreadsheet of my choices.
Ooh, hoo, 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 hoo.
Yeah, that's I was playing when I was in Japan.
Okay.
And I had a lot of free time on my hands. So yeah, I was just like killing that, waiting for Mass Effect 3 to come out.
I mean, you said 500 hours. That's,
yeah.
That is a lot of time.
Yeah, it is. It is many hours. And I didn't, you know, they have the comic book that came out where you can like make the big choices.
It didn't allow you to actually do like the smaller things that actually felt like I mattered more.
Yeah, exactly. So I did that once and I was like, meh. So I ended up like just playing everything. I went back to Mass Effect 1, made sure I had my perfect playthrough, and then just played variations of what I wanted in Mass Effect 2.
That was the issue, I would say, because if you didn't have a perfect playthrough through 1, then shit actually went out of hand, and you're like, damn it, I need to actually redo 1, and 1 is a slog now.
Yeah, it is a little bit difficult. But you know what, at the time, it was amazing. It was groundbreaking, and I still really love Mass Effect 1.
Oh yeah, no, if they were just do an HD remaster of those 3 games, it'd be perfect.
Oh my god, I would pay all the money for those 3. Oh my god. I would love to go back and play those again. Just remastered. More Garrus, just something.
Look, Garrus is a bro.
Garrus we're is, cool. is my space boyfriend.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He has no time for anyone. He just has to calibrate.
Oh, he had plenty of time for my ship.
Ugh.
You know, what really pissed me off is that I became, like, really jealous because a lot of the time I would go in and play Mass Effect and I would want to play it the exact same way over and over and over because I want to romance Garrus and I want to, like, you know, just basically play the same playthrough.
So you're telling me there's no other options for you?
In my heart, there is not. but I do love the other characters. But the thing is that if you don't romance Garrus, he gets with Tali. And I'm like, fucking unacceptable.
Is the superior choice in this regard.
You know, like, Tali's okay. She's all right. But I'm not happy for them.
Wow.
And I wish there was an option to tell them that straight to their faces.
Wow.
Yeah, that didn't sit well with me.
Can't let the man be happy.
No, if it's not with me, it's not with anyone.
I'm sorry, you can't leave him on Vormir to die. It doesn't work that way.
No. He doesn't have to die. He just has to be celibate.
Wow.
I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way, because obviously I've romanced him like 15 times, and then Tali's just like, whoop.
Yeah, just, I mean, it was there the whole time. You didn't see it?
No, not at all. And I've yet to romance Tali in Mass Effect 3. I think
out
I
of
was
pure spite.
Yeah, I think I was a little bitter.
She was the superior choice in all situations.
I don't see it, but
and I don't see Garrus. That's fine. See? We all have different opinions.
Yeah. You are clearly wrong.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. Tali's great. A lot of amazing things happened in Mass Effect 3. And I actually, when I beat the game, I was hoping for the indoctrination theory to be correct.
Everybody wanted that to be correct.
Just because, yeah, I know. And then they said that it wasn't, and I was like, okay, well, you know, I'm still fine with it. It's the end. It's fine. It's the journey, not the destination. I don't know.
Is it though?
Some shit like that.
Is it?
I really liked it. All in all, I was not disappointed.
Because that's my excuse for spoiler talk, and everyone always complains at me saying, no, but if I know the payoff, I'm like, yeah, but it's all about the journey. They're like, shut up. I'm like, I mean, come on.
It really is, though. I mean, it's a trilogy. You don't take them in isolation. They're not siloed. Like, they're an entire series of games. It's an experience, all three of them.
Yep, so, with its RPG 1, and Action Heavy 2, and then disappointing until patch 3.
I don't know. But, see, Mass Effect 2, people said, like, it was too linear. But I actually found that really refreshing, because right before the first Mass Effect came out, like, when I was waiting for it to come out, I was playing Oblivion. I bought my 360 to play Mass Effect. And then, so I was playing Oblivion, and I was like, okay, this is really great, and, you know, I beat that, and the Mass Effect came out, and it was totally mind-blowing. It was completely different from anything I ever played. And then when Mass Effect 2 came out, it was so much better. Gameplay-wise, like, the story was so much more in-depth, and it's one of my favorite games of all time. But it did something so different from anything that, like, the first Mass Effect presented and any, like, RPG. I'm looking for that innovation again. And I don't think that any game really right now is delivering that for me. Like, The Witcher is good. I haven't finished it yet.
I need to finish the game.
In terms of innovation, I don't know that I've really seen any. You know, it's like, go kill a monster, go kill a witch, save some kids, fight more monsters. Where is Ciri? I don't know.
I mean, look, Geralt's a good dad, okay?
And you know what? We need more good dad games. We need those.
I still haven't played God of War, and I really want to.
Okay, that game is awesome. Okay, that I actually forgot that we've been playing that. So my husband is a PC gamer, and I'm whatever console I have. I've, like, jumped around. So right now I have a PS4, so I'm mostly a console gamer. And the only way that we can play together is if we play a one-player game together on my PlayStation, basically. So we got God of War, and we switch off. Yeah. And as soon as I started fighting, I was like, holy shit, this game feels different. It feels really good. And the relationship that Kratos has with his kid, awesome. Mm-hmm. It changes the dynamic of the game. It changes the whole tone. It gives it heart. It's so emotional.
Look, I got kids now. I don't want to cry.
Play God of War. It's so good. Cry big man tears.
Let's finish the game and then just hold my children.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. We kids, you got them.
I make it sound awful. Jeez,
so many people are having kids, you know, like. There's, like, it's oversaturated. I gotta step out. I gotta dry things up a little bit.
Look, I gotta
so
say
many
to anybody,
kids these days.
I love my children. I don't wish this on my enemies. If you want them, you want them. If you don't, I'm not gonna be like, oh my god, are you having children?
Whoever so keeps many on people saying that are
shit
like that.
Is stupid. I don't get it. People are like, oh, you're gonna have a third one? I'm like, what is wrong with you?
I mean, that it's the logical question, because why would you have two?
Science failed us.
Don't blame this on the science.
But the science failed.
Let's not get into that. Yeah, I just feel like so many people are having kids, so I need to be the one that's not.
It's okay, eventually.
No, don't put that juju on me.
Hey, everyone already did it to me, so I gotta pass it off now.
I don't need that. I really don't need that. Kids are fucking expensive.
You don't say.
I do.
And mine multiplied.
Yeah. Oh, so crazy. Like, I don't get it. I really don't get it. Anyway,
but now I have built-in players 2 and 3, so it's nice.
Built in Players 2 and 3. Yeah, so play God of War.
Because they're playing Diablo with me when they're older. I'm saying this now.
Oh my god. I feel like that's the benefit of kids. Like, you kind of get to mold them into whatever you want, and then hope that the world doesn't fuck them up later. Right. Yeah, it's like if you were the young kid, if you were player 2 growing up, suddenly you get to be player 1, and all those revenge fantasies that you've ever had, you get to enact them on your children and scar them for life.
Except I want them to grow up being happy.
So I guess you're a good dad then.
I would like to be. I mean, anyone who willfully sits there and tortures their children, I'm sorry. While it's fun, that's also fucked up.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I had a lifetime of being player 2, like the inferior player, you know what I mean?
Oh, you had the Mad Cats controller.
Right. I mean, you always get the third party controller and you're younger, so your hand eye coordination isn't fully developed. You just naturally suck. And it's rubbed in your face.
I need to have my kids work because Switch controllers are expensive. And yeah.
Switch.
I have one. It's nice.
I've
been playing Dead Cells and Hollow Knight on it.
I see. I don't know what either of those are.
Do you like Castlevania games?
Not particularly. I like
then you would not like
anime.
Either of those. You would not like either of those.
Yeah, I know what Castlevania is. Besides, like, maybe in an arcade once or twice, I've never played it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but I do like the show. That's really good.
The show was good.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Let's see, what else? Oh, here's a disappointing game for me. The last Tomb Raider that came out.
I have not played Shadow of the Tomb Raider, and I would like to play Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Even though I've heard that Shadow of the Tomb Raider is...
So, I am a huge Lara Croft fan. I am also a huge, like, Angelina Jolie fan. So, that's right up my alley. Lara is amazing. I've loved her since... Like, the first time I played a Tomb Raider game was Tomb Raider 2, and it was in a Circuit City, a demo. I went in there to play...
You know, you just dated yourself so hard,
five-minute demo... I would just
we don't mention that we've been inside Circuit Cities. There are people who don't know what Circuit Cities are now.
Oh my god. Okay, we're not that old.
Is there any more Circuit Cities?
That doesn't matter. I mean, Toys R Us is gone too.
Yeah, H.H. Gregg took over and they're gone too.
What else is gone?
Way too much. So go back to your story, Grandma.
Like every bookstore except for Barnes & Noble and Books A Million, those are all fucking gone.
What's your story, Grandma? Back in your day when you went to Circuit City.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that's I've loved Tomb Raider ever since then, whatever year that was. But this last game, I'm actually not really a fan of it. The voice actor for Lara, the new Lara.
The talking so properly.
I don't know. So I just hope that after this game, they get somebody else that can move on to a new iteration of Lara. But the game itself felt so much like the one that came before it.
So yeah, Tomb Raider 1 remake was pretty damn good. Rise of the Tomb Raider, even better.
Yeah.
What happened with Shadow?
It was exactly like Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Oh.
I felt like there wasn't...
That's good, right? But now she's Batman.
If you're... Yeah, but I felt like... Okay, so the foundation of Lara Croft is that she's an archaeologist and she goes and finds shit that's lost, right? That's the bare bones. Uh-huh. These past two games, they felt... the same, because it's like she's looking for this lost civilization spoilers, she finds them. She always finds them. But then she's been fighting the same enemy throughout this trilogy. And it hasn't felt any different between the last two games in particular. I was really hoping they were going to do something different with this third game, and it just felt like more of the same. That's it.
I mean, I still want to play it. I enjoyed the last two.
Yeah, and the story is... I don't know. The story is fine. It wasn't amazing or anything. It could have, like everything, it could have been better. Maybe they just ran out of time. I don't know. Because the premise of it is really cool, and you sort of get that payoff in the end, but it doesn't feel as powerful as maybe it could have been. And you'll see what I mean when you play it. And then all of the DLC are just more challenge tombs. There's like no more story. It's just like do this puzzle like you would do in the game. Just more of them.
You know what's been better?
Huh.
And I need to go back and finish it. Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Origins. I'm going through Origins still.
Mm-hmm.
But the new Assassin's Creed games are really well done.
I have played almost all of them. I didn't.
Except Origins and Odyssey?
No. Okay, so I'm actually, like I said, I'm like being really frugal lately. So
understandable.
I haven't played either of them, but like Origins is like 15, I think... 15 bucks now or something.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, if you can get Origins cheap, definitely yeah. get it. Make sure you get all the DLC with it as well.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get it. But it is
really good.
So I've played every single Assassin's Creed except for the one with the brother and sister.
Syndicate. Didn't play Syndicate, didn't play Unity. I played one, didn't beat it. Played two, beat it. Played Brotherhood, beat it. Did not play Revelations.
Really what? All that much? Okay, so what? All of, okay, so Assassin's Creed 2, the whole thing is. I mean, Brotherhood. I think it slips a little in terms of I think like the missions and stuff.
It was,
but Ezio's like, story. It's so I love Ezio. It's so
yeah.
Good.
I was playing 2. 2 was fantastic. I was like, mm-hmm. Oh snap! I'm just gonna burn through Brotherhood. Got through Revelations. I'm like, I'm tired.
So was Ezio. You were feeling it.
I was feeling it, but I just got tired.
Yeah.
I was like, oof.
Yeah. And then once they announced that 3 was going to be the American Revolution, I was like,
Connor, 3 is eh. But
I hated 3. I hated it. I was like, why did they make this game? And there's some people who genuinely like it. And I was very mm-hmm. shocked to find that out. Because I thought it was mostly trash, but Black Flag was, I think, a return to form, and I really liked
it. Your heart fiddle-dee-dee, being a pirate is all right. You see, do what you want because a pirate is free. Okay. You are a pirate.
Yar. that I thought did something different, and I really liked it. So
I did not get to play Unity, but I did get it free recently because they, after the whole Notre Dame fire, Ubisoft was actually giving it away for free.
I did play Unity. Yeah, I did play. I actually liked that one. I thought it was good.
I guess you played it post fixings because up front, oh boy.
So I feel like
people's missing faces.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I feel like when I play games, I very rarely run into glitches, which is why I was so confused when people were having problems with Andromeda.
Did you play Andromeda when it came out?
I was the first person to get it at GameStop the night it came out, at my GameStop. And
I mean,
I went home and played it immediately.
And you played the console one. That's why.
Yeah, and it was perfectly fine. And I didn't understand what anybody was saying. Like, I ran into two glitches the entire time.
There was deadpan faces. There was missing textures.
I didn't get any of that. And I actually really loved Andromeda. I thought it was great.
So I haven't really played all that much Unity. Then Syndicate, didn't really play that.
No, that didn't appeal to me. Rogue. Oh, wait. Did I play Rogue?
Rogue was the offshoot. It was like, it was basically like Black Flag 0.2.
No, then maybe I didn't play that. So I didn't play Syndicate. I didn't play Rogue.
And then, of course, they took some time off, which was a much-needed affair.
Yes.
And then they went ahead and released Origins, which, hot diggity damn, Bayek is a badass.
Yeah, I'm really excited to play that one. And then I'll go to Odyssey.
The only downside is, and if you have not played either, don't play them back to back because you will be burnt out as shit. Because Odyssey was made in tandem of Origin, so it still has some benefits from Origins coming out, but it's just, it feels like, okay, I'm playing more of this with a Greek skin.
Yeah, and that's definitely what I do not want. I don't think I can play two Assassin's Creed games back to back, though, anyway.
And this is why I didn't play Revelations. Because I played two games and I was trying to do a third.
Aw, I really like that game. It's making me sad all over again.
Because I got a Switch again, I have been going through Breath of the Wild. I want to get back to the DLC. Look, you may say I'm tired of overworld games.
No, this is a very unpopular statement, but I am not a Zelda fan.
I mean, there are select few out there who have a wrong opinion.
I need to be herded
and killed off, but...
Wow. So I really liked the first one. That was my jam. That's what I played all the time when I was little.
But the new one is like that, but in 3D, and you can go and do whatever you want.
I don't know if that appeals to me anymore, though. I don't play Nintendo games really anymore because it doesn't appeal to me.
So you're saying you grew up. You became an old person.
Yeah. Right? That's meant to happen. It's just...
Yeah, but I still have my childlike wonder. Thank you very much.
I mean, so do I, but...
Nintendo games.
Right, it's not, but Nintendo doesn't have a monopoly on childlike wonder.
Little do you know. Two companies, Disney and Nintendo.
Yeah. I don't know. I just I had a Wii for like maybe 3 weeks and then I returned it.
That was a casual system. That was the Wii Sports machine.
I really wanted to play A Boy and His Blob because I had such fond memories of playing the original.
It is available on computers.
The Wii Boy and His Blob was mindless trash. And I hated it.
Wow. There was a dedicated hug button and you say it's trash. Wow.
Charming.
You are a monster.
I don't want it.
You are a monster.
So I've been told.
You are hating on the game with a dedicated hug button.
You know what? Since you're being so mean to me, I'm going to recommend you read this book. It's available on Audible.
I don't get sponsorships. You cut that shit out.
It's called A Monster Calls. And okay. I just think that you should read it because... I need you to suffer the way I suffered.
But again, you are hating on a game with a little boy who can hug his blob pet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what? They made A Monster Calls into a movie in 2016. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm seeing that.
Yeah.
But is there hugging?
maybe. yeah, just read the synopsis and then you should definitely... read it because it's beautiful, and also I want you to suffer the way I have suffered.
Look, I've read some very emotional shit. I don't need more emotional shit in my life.
I'm just here to destroy you from the inside.
But why?
Oh, I don't know, funsies. So I'm not a parent. So when I read stuff like A Monster Calls, I need I need actual people with feelings outside of themselves to give me feedback.
Yeah, that's the worst. I looked at my kid the other day and he smiled at me and I cried. Why? He smiled and I'm like,
mm-hmm. Oh my God.
My little boy. Wow. I don't need that. Look, I gotta keep a strong facade.
Oh my, have you ever had one of those, Sturgis?
I like how the people that really know me know that I'm a big pushover. Like, oh, he puts on a big front, but that guy, huh? Just kick him in the shin. He'll cry. It's fine.
Yeah, I guess so. Have you, so I've been playing Dungeon Keeper and Baldur's Gate on Good Old Games.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually not my account. My friend gave me his login because I was jonesing to play Baldur's Gate again. He let me have his login when I was in Japan, and my laptop back then was so shitty. It like wouldn't run. It was so slow. It was terrible. And now it's perfectly fine. But now I can only play it in like, I don't know, 15, 20 minute increments. It's so old. It's a bit difficult to play. But Good Old Games is awesome.
That it is. And a lot of people don't see the benefit behind it because it is by the people who made The Witcher. Anyways.
I like The Witcher. Why are you coughing at me?
Because you deserve it. No, but their company actually went, when I saw a documentary on them, they go ahead and work with anyone they can find to get the licensing to re-release the games, and will sit there and poke at the code to make it run on modern systems.
Ooh, that's awesome.
So it could be stuff like, in the case of like Baldur's Gate, they made sure that at least it will work on a modern system and not get glitchy and crazy.
Right.
They re-released the original Diablo recently. I was like, ooh, I want to replay that. And I thought about it. And I'm like, I don't really care. That was a bad game now.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy how stuff ages like that. Like, I actually recently... Okay, so, like I said, I'm a huge BioWare fan, but Jade Empire came out at a transitional period between the Xbox and the 360, at least for me being able to play it.
I didn't play Jade Empire. I'll admit to it.
I finally played it, but I played it the backwards compatibility. So obviously it's like a, you know, a little square on your TV. And it's actually really good. I liked it a lot. But going back and playing these old games is such a trip because like there's so much reading involved. And I actually sort of miss that. And Fallout still has that, I guess, but a lot of the games now, like Mass Effect and Dragon Age, they're like doing the conversation wheel and trying to truncate the responses, and then your character says something more elaborate.
Well, they do it so that you have a little bit more immersion compared to before, where it was just like,
yeah,
hey, pick the response, and your guy just kind of moves side to side and the other person responds.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I love the conversation wheel, don't get me wrong. But it's just kind of crazy now, like how much time you spent in a video game was you were invested in like just reading all of the options and trying to figure out what you wanted to say, or clicking on an object and it came up with like this huge explanation about what it was that you had to like sit there and read.
This is why anytime games had audio logs, I thank them so much. Because I can keep going to do other things while it talked to me.
Yeah. I think the game that did that in the best way for me was probably BioShock. I really
loved one. I never played two.
Oh, don't play it. Don't play it. It's so bad.
And I of course, beat and all DLC Infinite.
Infinite was not for me.
A shame. It's because it's a good game.
It's okay. I saw what they were trying to do. It didn't appeal to me. I don't know. Thought it was a little
flat.
If you
like immersion or immersive first-person shooters, Prey, 2017's Prey, underrated gem. Holy crap, is that game good?
Yeah.
I advise anyone who has not played it to play it. And it's cheap now.
How much is it? I mean,
20
it's
or
30 not,
bucks.
It's not. What, 20 or 30 is cheap to you?
compared to, you know, normal priced titles were 60.
I don't know. For me, half off is still expensive.
Oh my God.
I'm looking to spend as little as possible. Didn't I just tell you I just went through the immigration system? I'm broke.
It's 30 bucks. There's a demo though. And if you get the DLC with it, it's 40. I highly recommend this fucking game.
or I could play all the cheaper stuff now and just wait until Prey gets to be like $10 or $15. That's how I'm living.
It's people
life
like
right
you
now.
That made it so Prey won't get a sequel.
I mean, I'm poor. What can I say?
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying. Did you like Dishonored?
I did. I actually.
Then it's only... made by those people.
Okay. All right. Calm down, sir.
It's good. No one played it. That's the problem.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's Bethesda, right? Is the publisher for that?
Yeah, it's Bethesda.
But it's Arcane.
Oh, so
I loved Dishonored, and it was so hard not to kill anybody. So hard, because not that the game made it difficult. It was just that I really wanted to.
Just give in.
I love
you get cooler
games.
Powers anyways.
I know, but okay, so a fact about me is that whenever I play a game the first time, I go like lawful good.
Can't do it.
Oh, it makes the game harder for me, and that's why I do it. It's like Mass Effect, Paragon. Everything Paragon.
But I refuse.
So hard. But no, I don't refuse until the third time I play. So I do all Paragon, and then I do all Renegade, and then the third time I do whatever I want. And that, for me, makes it more interesting because I'm not jumping around all over the place. And I have a nice, clear path of, like, which decisions I've made and which I've yet to make. That's how I get all my value.
I'm not arguing, and I get your sentiment. It's just...
You just have no patience.
If I can be the biggest asshole in the game, don't give me the option, I will take it.
Yeah, I have Dishonored 2, but I haven't played it yet. I actually booted it up and it was like, do you want to be Corvo or do you want to be that princess girl you saved or the empress or whatever? And I was like, oh, I have to make a choice, and then I turned it off.
Wow.
And this is coming from somebody who loves RPGs, and I was just not about it.
Wow.
Because I want to play as the person I played as before, but they're giving
then
me
just
the
do
option. Corvo. But they're giving me the option to play as somebody new and fresh.
And then you can just play it again.
Okay, but listen, I don't like playing games more than once, usually. Like, for all Elder Scrolls games, I just beat the fucking shit out of everything in like a 150-hour playthrough, and then I'm done.
oh, Jesus.
Yeah, like, I 100%ed Oblivion. And then it was done.
I think I did too, but then again, Oblivion was a game you could do that. Skyrim, I was like, nope, I ain't got the time.
Oh my God, Skyrim, I was just like, nah, fuck the main quest. I'm just going to go do everything else. And then finally I was like, I guess I should beat it. And then that took like an hour.
Well, I want to not cut this, but thank you for joining me.
Of
I don't want
course.
To. I've actually been trying to keep these at an hour or so, so it kind of works out.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining me, Christy.
Thank you for inviting me.
Fresh Clean New was brought to you by me, Sturgis. You can find me everywhere, as I've always stated, on Twitter, everything, at Zero Siphon. The music on this episode, in addition to hopefully future episodes, is done by Buddha Sandwich. You can find his music at SoundCloud/Buddha Sandwich. I will leave a link somewhere. Please also give a look to friends of my show and shows in the past, such as The Masters of Nothing with Jake and John over at mastersofnothing.com. Also, please go ahead and check out What's in the Box over at Double Toasted with DJ Miles, Robert, and Christian Torres. Thank you. Have a nice night, everybody.